Hello, my name's Alex Gamsik, and I am the founder of Honest Politics LLC. My company does high-level political consulting, but not for politicians. So today's podcast is kind of special because I'm going to be covering the Trump rally that happened in Hershey, Pennsylvania. And I thought it would be good because I've been doing so many Democratic events, you know, because there's an exciting primary race going on, whereas the Republican race is basically just Trump's going to win no matter what, so there has been less to cover on the Republican side. But this rally, Trump's been doing campaign rallies, so I thought I'd cover one and try to look at it from the perspective of a Trump supporter, or at least a Trump sympathetic person. So I also want to clarify, of course, that my business is omnipartisan, which means I'll cover and help people no matter what their political affiliation is. And I'll even take on a political affiliation if you want me to role play, say, during a phone call or in one of my reports. So this is a little bit of that role play, where I'm going to be on the side of Trump and Mike Pence, as I described their rally. So here we go. It began with Mike Pence, and the crowd was just amazing. There was a ton of energy in the building. And you don't see that from other politicians, where there's just so much enthusiasm and the crowd is so happy to see them. But Mike Pence got up there and immediately everyone started chanting USA, USA, very patriotic group of people. And there is a focus on standing with Trump in Mike Pence's speech. They saw themselves as a movement, all the people in that place, and they were chanting 4 more years, 4 more years. So this race is very much about re-electing Trump, and it's a very Trump-focused election. Mike Pence praised the last 3 years with amazing results and action and promises kept. He talked about rebuilding the military, the largest reinvestment since Reagan in the military, the creation of the Space Force, the capture of all ISIL territory, taking out the leader of ISIL without one American casualty, historic investments in border security, 70% lower border apprehensions, standing with the police, appointing 170 conservatives to federal courts, upholding the God-given right to the Constitution, keeping people's guns. Trump was the most pro-life president in American history, according to Pence. A reinvestment in 7 million jobs for Americans. Cutting taxes, rolling back red tape, a new trade deal, and a booming economy. Trump got the USMCA done, and there were quite a bit of boos for the Democrats, a lot of attacking the radical leftists for their higher taxes, their crushing socialist economy, and late-term abortions. And Mike Pence kind of finished off by saying that impeachment was a disgrace, and they were only impeaching Trump because they know they can't beat Trump. So Pence was very clear in his words, very much kind of what you hear from a politician. And then when Trump came out, as much as I'm doing this from a Trump supporter's perspective, I can't help but notice that Trump was noticeably had a very dark tan kind of thing going on. It was pretty obvious. And he was slurring his words almost the entire speech, whereas Pence was very punctuated and his words were clear. Trump was kind of like, and you just, yeah. And I couldn't help but notice that. So if I was a Trump supporter, I might be concerned that he's so busy fighting for America. He's working his butt off day in and day out in the White House, surrounded by deep state swampists, that it's taking so much energy. And we're so proud of him for doing all that he can, even surrendering his sleep time, surrendering his comfort. It's been very tough on him and his family to do all of this, to give up the life they had for some real public service. So Trump began by saying that you're lucky I'm your president. And then he said, oh, well, the fake news shouldn't be listening to me say that because they'll blow it up. I'm just kidding. Ha ha ha. And then he was talking about how the unemployment rate is at an all-time low. There's been a huge investment in Pennsylvania. It's like they found the magic wand to bring the economy back. And I kept running into this, which is where Trump made a lot of jokes or made humor out of a lot of situations. where I think a lot of people could relate to that, and a lot of people do relate to that, obviously. He went after NAFTA, and then Trump was saying even he even went to school in Pennsylvania, so he tried to use his personal connection to kind of engage with the voters there. And now another quick ad break. We're not sponsored by anyone as rich as the Trump Organization, but maybe one day. He was talking about Pelosi investing $700+ billion in the military and having a stronger military that's ever been had before. He said his election night was the most exciting night ever, and as a role-playing Trump supporter, oh boy, that was the greatest time of my life, was watching the New York Times ticker go from 95% Hillary all the way to 95% Trump within a matter of minutes. That was the most exciting time of my life. Without Trump, the dishonest newspapers are going down the tube. So Trump made this point that newspapers and CNN and all of them are only making money nowadays because they're covering Trump and people have Trump derangement syndrome, basically. So once Trump is gone, either after 8 years or after losing the next election, we'll see how the fake news media holds up when he's not around. But he did say the wall is going up, the Space Force is here, and everything's built right in the United States. He did a lot of podium smacking, where he kind of, like, smacked the side of the podium. Looked a little suggestive to me at first, but I quickly got used to it. He was talking about killing the terrorists, you know, the ISIL terrorists, Baghdadi, and killed their second-in-command, and he even probably made news by saying they know exactly where the third guy is, and they're going to go get him. He said, we are respected now, even though we've been laughed at before. The radical left are trying to overthrow our democracy, but don't worry about it because Republicans have never been so united as right now. And all of it's a hoax, all of the Democrat stuff, it's all just a big fat lie. It's all just stupid, made up, fake news. The Inspector report that came out was outlining abuses of power by the FBI. So then there was a protester and a lot of boos from the crowd, and for a solid 2 or 3, maybe even 5 minutes, Trump was like, get her out of here. And then they were escorting the protester out, and Trump was saying, like, oh, the guard is being so politically correct by not touching her. He doesn't want to touch her. And, you know, I mean, I'm sure the guard is just trying to do his duty. I mean, some people would say it's a good thing that he's not touching this woman, and, you know, when you get in these protest situations, because I have been in a lot of protests and stuff, do not touch anybody, because if you do, you can get sued. That's how a lot of these hate groups actually make their money, is by agitating people so much, and then once they get shoved or touched, they'll sue the other person, and they get their money that way, so you just have to be careful nowadays not to touch someone. But Trump was kind of pointing out that it's over political correctness to be so afraid of even getting a protester out of their stadium. Anyway, he was saying that his campaign was spied on like never before, with 17 errors and outright lies by the FBI in their report. He said it was all a frame and it was all a setup, but they've never been stronger politically than ever before. And to look forward to the Durham report, which is another probe into why the Russia scandal started. And as a Trump supporter, I gotta tell you that, you know, William Barr is leading the Justice Department in the right direction. He has Trump's back, and he's gonna make sure that the truth is covered up out of the slime of Washington. They were booing Barack Hussein Obama. Trump made sure to put that middle name in there for reasons that I'll skate over for a second. And then he did, like, his fake Lisa Page lover impersonation, which I thought was hilarious. And Trump was saying a normal president would crack under all this pressure, under the table with a thumb in their mouth. So, you know, this whole thing has been so unfair to Trump and his family, but they're exposing the swamp for what it is, and they're cleaning it up. The Russia hoax was supposed to be dead, because, you know, it was a fraud the whole time. And articles of impeachment, they don't even outline a crime. They're the weakest and lightest impeachment ever. Trump even termed it impeachment light. And you'll see a lot more of that impeachment light rhetoric, I'm sure, as impeachment moves from the Democrat-controlled radical leftist house into the more sane, more calm environment of the Senate. So they were booing Schiff as well. They're trying to say, you know, where's the whistleblower? The whistleblower's not even in the picture anymore. And that kind of gets to Trump's ability to crack through the conventional Washington wisdom and really ask the questions that people are thinking when they're sitting in their living rooms. Where did the whistleblower go? What's going on with all of this? And he said that, you know, the transcript of the call was actually the most exonerating part of this whole deal. But the radical left party is being run by AOC plus three, which is referring to the most left-wing Democrats who are basically pressuring the entire party to be as progressive as they can. And then Trump did his thing where he called the crowd the elite, because he's trying to take back that word. The common people of this country are the people who built it, and it's not those Washington know-it-alls who think they have their they have the intelligence and all the deep state knowledge. They're not the real elite. We're the real elite, the people who live in everyday America. You have the best unemployment ever for Asian Americans, African Americans, and Hispanic Americans. And that's kind of the line Trump will continue to use to win over minority voters and say, you know what, even though we might not have targeted policies to help you out, just by making the entire U.S. economy better, everyone will be better off, minorities and everyone else. So he's saying you have to vote out the crazy Democrats to take back the House. The Russians actually wish that Hillary won, which is completely contradictory to what the Mueller report said, but of course that was all a witch hunt. Trump also falsely claimed that the oceans will rise an eighth of an inch within the next 250 years. And as a Trump supporter, I'm supposed to just kind of ignore that. We have the largest economy ever this year. People will make more money than ever before, and Shifty Schiff is a, quote, crooked bastard. So, yeah, we're gonna skate over some of this stuff, like how Obama did nothing else but get his butt kicked, except he didn't say butt, he said another word. I don't feel comfortable cursing on this podcast just because it doesn't fit with my professional life. If that makes sense. Anyway, that's not something a Trump supporter would say, I guess. But, so he was making fun of Joe Biden, saying Biden doesn't even know what state he's in, what's wrong with the guy, something's very wrong with him. But nobody's ever drawn crowds like Trump, and he doesn't even have a guitar, apparently. There were 10,500 people in the stadium and thousands waiting outside. It shows the spirit of what they're doing, which even Reagan didn't have. And when I looked at the live stream that I was looking at, there were 63,000 people watching, which was kind of crazy. Trump introduced the local Pennsylvania politicians, you know, to kind of help them get elected. But then he said something kind of weird. He said, even if you don't like them, you've got to vote for them. I think that kind of goes back to where Trump rose. He got a lot of his support from people who didn't like McCain, who didn't like Romney. They didn't like traditional Republicans. They might not have even liked Republicans at all. So Trump's kind of saying here, like, look, if you're with me, you got to help elect these Republicans, even if they're more Romney-McCain Republicans, because at the end of the day, they're going to help pass the legislation. They're going to build the kind of coalition that'll get my Trump policies passed through the Congress. We're getting towards the end here. So Trump was saying that the Democrats want no Bible, no oil, and no guns, and Joe has no idea what he's doing. But Trump is speaking the truth, cutting through the political jargon, and giving people kind of behind-the-scenes perspectives. He said that globalists just want to rebuild the entire world and abandon our own country. Trump is a good developer, and then he said, "I got there, boomba boomba." So he was being silly, you know. He demonstrated his skills as a developer by kind of pointing and making random noises, but that's what developers do. Anyway, the sanctuary cities he talked about, how they hate everyday Americans, releasing criminals into the streets where they're free to beat up people, kill and rape people. ICE is powerful and tough. So last year, apparently 13 illegal immigrants were arrested for murder, and the savage MS-13 gang was removed by the thousands under Trump's administration. So recently there were a bunch of MS-13 gang members arrested, and one of them is even roaming the streets of Philadelphia right now, even though he committed a bunch of crimes and was deported 3 times. So Trump said, "How stupid can you be?" And the Democrat socialists want to take away your health care. They want to take away your doctor, even though Trump is saying that he supports covering pre-existing conditions. Crazy Elizabeth Warren is Pocahontas, which kind of got the crowd riled up when they heard that because of all the Native American scandal. The plan that Elizabeth Warren had was going to cost so much more than even the federal government takes in every year, and it's just kind of insane. So Trump was saying how, like, you'll lose your doctors, and Trump thought he took her down pretty hard, and then she rose from the ashes, just little embers, and now she rose from the ashes, and then she opened her mouth and she fell back down again, is what Trump said. Then he said Alfred E. Newman is running, referring to Pete Buttigieg, and he asked, "Can you believe he's doing well? I dream about him." And he said he's not going too far with any of these people, meaning Trump's not going to keep harping on the Democrats yet. He says to wait. He's going to wait to really unload on the Democrats until he sees who's more likely to be the nominee. And he said he even destroyed Elizabeth Warren too early. I think if I were Trump, I would reinforce what he just said. I would wait to attack the Democrats until you know exactly which one to get after. And then you can use your best insults and your best critiques to really get him good. He attacked Elizabeth Warren also for the weird video she had with the husband in the house getting a beer. Shows how phony she is. So Trump's going to protect babies from, apparently in Virginia, being executed as soon as they're born, which is a awful thing that happens all across this country. There's, I think, averaging like 800,000 abortions every year. And as a Trump supporter, I see that as 800,000 murders that really should be stopped. And we have to stop it for good once and for all to protect the little children who can't help themselves. Every child is a sacred gift from God, after all, and that's what Trump said up there on that podium. They got a lot of applause for that. He also got applause for getting rid of the Iran deal, opening a base in Jerusalem. I mean, an embassy in Jerusalem. The country's going to get destroyed if the Democrats take over, but his administration, even if it doesn't have everything you've wanted so far, it's like a tree. It needs time to get its roots in so it can really blossom the kind of policies that you want. So you need to cut regulations. He's been cutting more regulations than any other administration. And you might need some regulation, but you don't need it to prevent you from building a simple road or highway. So then Trump ended with a bunch of his promises, like new cures for cancer and ending AIDS within 10 years. And then he kind of went on with his closing statement that seemed kind of prepared, but it was really inspiring nonetheless. And the crowd was very appreciative of him being there. So what do I think as a Trump supporter of all the big rally? I thought it was great. I mean, I think Trump seemed a little more tired than usual, and he played a lot of his classic hits, as it were. A lot of the same jokes and kind of coming back to the same tropes. But, you know, every time he stands up there, I'm just so proud that somebody like me, you know, who isn't some deep state policy operative who might not have grown up with so much privilege, you know, Trump speaks to me. He speaks to everyday Americans. He speaks to the forgotten person. And you know what? Maybe that's more of what we need, a little less political correctness. And a little more just, you know, good old-fashioned American patriotism. And that's what we saw tonight. Okay, the role play's over, so I'm back. And I hope if you're a Trump supporter, you might have found a little bit of that interesting. I apologize for the one or two times I actually pointed out that he was outright lying. It's just like, when you say that ocean's gonna raise a quarter of an inch within 250 years, that goes against every single policy paper I've read about climate change. It's against every single thing I've learned. And I know it's a lie. And my business, as much as it's going to entertain everyone's political opinions, when I see a fact or figure that I know is a lie, I'm not going to entertain it. I'm not going to let it slide. So I know a lot of these numbers, whether they're from Trump or from a Democrat or someone else, a lot of them are going to be mistaken. But when you see something like that, I'm going to call it out for what it is. You know, if you agree 100% with a political candidate, that means you're the one running. You're not going to agree 100% with anybody. And you might love Trump, but there might be one or two things where you say, you know what, maybe I would have done that differently if I were in his shoes. And that's okay, because everybody is different. Every person is different, whether you admire them, whether you want to be like them, whether you want to help them win an election, everyone is different. So, again, if you're a Trump supporter, I hope you enjoyed that. If you're not a Trump supporter, I hope it kind of informed you what Trump's rally was like. And I was able to describe it in under 20 minutes, even though the rally itself was over an hour long. So it helps condense the learning aspect of American politics, so you can learn about what Trump and his supporters are doing without having to kind of deal with all of the research yourself. And you can hire Honest Politics LLC to keep doing this. Just go to honestpoliticsllc.com, scroll to the bottom, and send me a message. I can cover an event like this for you. I can role play as another kind of political party or do whatever you'd like. Anyway, I hope you have a great rest of your evening or morning or day, whatever it is. And I'll see you next time as we seek to discover more of the stories behind the statistics.